We continue with our fascinating series on Muslim communities. Over the last few weeks, we've been focusing on Palestine, historical aspects, as well as last week, where the focus was on the last 100 years, what had transpired in Palestine. Now, this evening, we look at historical places in and around Palestine in the Blessed Land. Maulana Yusuf Bema joins me on the line from Port Elizabeth. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
A really blessed land, not only Masjid Aqsa, but the entire land is blessed.
And
there are places of interest all around that, the precincts of Masjid Aqsa.
Indeed, Mufti Sahib, I think you're 100% correct. Not just the Masjid Aqsa, which people visit, but all around Jerusalem, and even further throughout the land of Palestine, the whole land of Sham is indeed a very Mubarak and blessed place.
Let us begin with looking at some of the places of interest.
Okay, inshallah ta'ala, we can begin with that now. Alhamdulillah, in the year 2005, during the month of Ramadan, I had the good opportunity of the wonderful opportunity of visiting Palestine with Maulana Bilal Vaid, who was the two of us were together. And I'm sure everybody who does go there will be able to share the experiences with you of the entry into the country, the experiences around the masjid. And inshallah ta'ala, this evening I will share mine with you, and focusing on the Islamic historical sites which one would visit when one goes there. So for those of us intending to go there, inshallah ta'ala, I think it will be very beneficial. Those of us who have been there and who maybe hadn't heard about the historical significance of some of the places which they visited, it will be a refresher for them, inshallah ta'ala. So during that Ramadan in 2005, we left on a Thursday from Jordan, wanting to cross over the Allenby Bridge into Palestine. Once we got to the border, we were told that it was a Jewish holiday, and the border was closed for the day, and we would have to try and come back the following day, which was a Friday. So we left early in the morning on a Friday morning from Amman. We took the bus across over to the Palestinian side, and once reaching the border, I think it was for many people they would experience something similar. You have to wait. You are questioned by the border, by the customs, and you keep on going backwards and forwards. The same thing transpired with us. We had to wait about 7 hours at the border. Allah alone knows what the reason was, but it seemed like, or it seemed to us that it was just a delaying tactic so that we must Jumu'ah Salah in Aqsa, and which obviously happened. And once everything was done and people had closed up, and the cleaners had come out and begun cleaning the border post, that's when we were finally allowed through. Alhamdulillah, we were allowed through. So it was a bit of sabr getting into the country, but nothing compared to what the Palestinians have to go through on a daily basis. And even those that were coming into the coming through the border, we were told apparently that some of the buses of Palestinians were waiting for 2 days there. So Allah alone knows, our sabr was nothing compared to theirs. In any case, we had missed the Jumu'ah Salah. It was a Friday, it was the month of Ramadan. We took a taxi from the border into Al-Quds. And driving on the highway into Jerusalem, I can never ever forget the beauty of the Dome of the Rock and of the compound of Aqsa when I saw it from the highway. It was like the first time one sees the Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah. You know, seeing all of these pictures from childhood and then finally seeing it in reality, it was truly breathtaking, you know, a spine-tingling experience. And I just thought of that Nawam, which we sometimes used to hear when we were younger, Al-Quds Tunadina, that Quds is calling us, and Alhamdulillah we had arrived. So we entered through the Damascus Gate, the old gate of the old city of Jerusalem, into the bustling market. It was humming with activity. The old city, which has obviously such character, which you don't find in other places of the world, in other parts of the world, and whose walls can actually speak volumes on what it has witnessed over the centuries. We walked through the marketplace until we came to the compound. There were Israeli guards at the entrance. We had to recite Surah Fatiha to them to prove to them that we were actually Muslim. And after they were convinced that we are Muslims, we were allowed into the sacred compound, into the Haram. being a Friday, it was packed with families who had come from all over the tiny country to come and witness Salatul Jum'ah and Ramadan in this in the Haram. Iftar had been prepared for a number of people. It was rolled out on the outside, and we had sat with some brothers, and together we had made iftar there, and we had made obviously the Maghrib Salah in Masjid Al-Aqsa, which was indeed wonderful. For the Isha Salah, during that period between Maghrib and Isha, we had met the Muazzin and other people, and Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala had given us the opportunity to give the Adhan for Isha Salah on that Friday in Ramadan, which indeed was a very special moment for myself. Thereafter, we spent the night at a neighboring, in a masjid not far off with some other brothers. And then the next day after Fajr Salah in the Haram, we began visiting the Islamic historical sites around Jerusalem and a few other places as well. We began obviously with Masjid al-Quds, the Masjid, the Haram. It's no ordinary masjid, and it is indeed a very blessed place. It has special qualities which other masajid don't have. It was the first Qibla of the Muslim for the Muslims. It is the place from where Isra and Mi'raj, or the Mi'raj, took place. It is the second house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be built on earth after Masjid al-Haram. Many hundreds of messengers of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam had gathered there. They are buried there. They had gathered there for salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they are even buried in the precincts of the masjid. Many sahaba are also buried around there. Allah Ta'ala himself refers to it as a very blessed place, Ardun Mubaraka, and it has been referred to directly and indirectly in the Quran 70 or more times. There is a hadith narrated by Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, a prayer in Mecca is worth 100,000 times a prayer anywhere else, and a prayer in Medina is worth 1,000 times, and a prayer in Aqsa is worth 500 times more than anywhere else. So indeed, performing salah in the masjid carries tawab, according to us, much more than other masajid, besides the other two which are mentioned. From the Jewish perspective, they obviously, we do know that Jews believe that they would need to build the Temple of Solomon, and they need to raise Masjid al-Aqsa. Many ultra-Orthodox, many religious Jews actually regard entry into the compound as violation of Jewish law. And this restriction which they have, and this is only some Jewish groups, they base it on the belief that the Temple of Solomon was destroyed centuries ago, and it will only be rebuilt after the coming of the Messiah. And they say that, or their belief would be that it is presumptuous of people to go and force the hand of Allah according to them, and that's why they will not enter it. Other Jewish groups feel no, that they need to raise Masjid al-Aqsa, and they need to build the Temple of Solomon in its place, so that they can worship Lord or their Lord in that manner. Many evangelical Christians also have a similar belief that for the second coming of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there needs to be the Temple of Solomon, and that's why many of them are campaigning for it. In any case, we believe this is Masjid al-Aqsa, which is indeed a very mubarak place, a very blessed place. Underneath the masjid is the basement of Al-Aqsa. There are huge stone pillars which some believe have been erected by the jinnat of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. We do know that they were indeed, they did build a masjid. Whether it is exactly the same one, we are not sure, but indeed they did build it during the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, as we do know from the Surah Al-Saba. So the excavated site beneath it is directly beneath the masjid. Toward, on the eastern side, which is the opposite side to the western wall, on the eastern side, there is another masjid which was recently excavated. When we were there, they were busy excavating it at the time in 2005, and that is known as the Marwani Masjid. Known as Marwani Masjid because named after Marwan the First, who was the fourth Umayyad Khalifa, so very soon after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is named after him, even though the original masjid dates dates back to the time, some people say it was the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Others say no, it was closer to the time of Herod the Great, or the so-called Great, just before Isa alayhi salam. Indeed, it is very old and very ancient, and it is a wonderful place of worship for the Muslims. The Crusaders, when they came, they had used it as stables. Other people, some people refer to as the stables of Sulaiman alayhi salam as well. So Allah alone knows what it is. But Marwan, when he came very soon, maybe 30th year but more after Hijrah, a little after, must be in 50, about 50 Hijrah, during that time, he transformed it into a masjid which can be used, and that is why it is named the Marwani Masjid. It's capable of housing at least 7,000 musallis. So that is the other masjid, or the other place of worship. Going back to the western side, where on the inside of the Wailing Wall is the Masjid al-Buraq, which has a ring in the wall, which is, it is believed, where the Buraq was tied when Rasulullah sallallahu had come to Jerusalem. In the center of the compound is the Dome of the Rock, Qubbat al-Sakhra, as we do know, and many people in the past had mistakenly referred to it as the Al-Aqsa Masjid. This was built by Marwan's son, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who had also built the Umayyad Masjid in Damascus. And this Qubbat al-Sakhra is a beautiful structure. It was built, it took 6 years to build, and it was inaugurated in the year 691 CE. So that was built by him at the time, and even till today, it's a beautiful architectural piece. It's an octagon-shaped building. At the time, it was at the cutting edge of design and built on a marble base, the remainder of it being built out of wood. And the dome itself is 25 meters high and is covered with gold, and it hasn't changed for 13 centuries. When the Crusaders came, all they did was erect a cross on the top. When the Muslims conquered it again, it was removed, and it remained unchanged for 13 centuries, and it is still one of the oldest Islamic monuments which have existed from the time, or very close to that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a museum to the right of the masjid, which has many different relics pertaining to the Al-Aqsa compound. One of them, which we saw, was the minbar of Salahuddin. Now, this minbar, it was considered one of the most beautiful in the world. It was made of over 10,000 interlocking pieces of cedar wood, and it had ivory and mother of pearl, and they didn't even use a single drop of glue or a single nail. So it is indeed very beautiful, and it was, as we discussed two weeks ago, that the Qadi of Jerusalem, Muhyiddin al-Qurashi, when he had ascended the minbar for the first Jummah Salah, it was this very same minbar which he had ascended. this, unfortunately, I think it was 1967, that a fanatical Jew had come inside and had set fire to the masjid and had burned quite a large portion of the minbar. So that is why it is in the museum today and not in the masjid. Going back to the Dome of the Rock, we spoke about the external structure. The inside is the actual rock where Rasulullah is believed to have ascended for the Mi'raj from this particular rock. Beneath this rock is a little sawma'a, or place of worship, where Ibrahim a.s. and other anbiya are believed to have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the little cave at the bottom. At the back of the compound, right at the other end of the compound, is the Al-Aqsa school. Now, while there are other Al-Aqsa schools in Indonesia and other where else, this is the true Al-Aqsa school, and it's been running for a number of centuries as well. There is the birthplace of Maryam alayhi salam, which is also at the back of the compound. There is a church there called the Church of Saint Anne, a Roman Catholic church, which is at the other end of the compound. And according to Christian sources, this church is built over the place where Maryam alayhi salam was born. And it remained a church during the time, even by until the time of the Crusaders, or they renovated it. And when the Muslims took over Jerusalem in the year 1189 AD, Wat Salahuddin, the church was not destroyed, but rather converted into a madrasa, known as Madrasa Al-Salihiyya, and this is a madrasa which continues until this day as well. Outside the walls of the compound in Jerusalem of the Haram, the Qubur of many Sahaba on the Mount of Olives, there are a number of graves there, and some of those plots range or are bought off by the Jews who have a special belief on that mount. Many Sahaba are also buried in that area. Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried there. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu is also believed to be buried there. He was one of the leading experts in the Holy Quran, and he became the first Qadi, of the Muslims for the city of Jerusalem, Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On the western side of the compound where the Wailing Wall is the Jewish quarter. We did visit the Jewish quarter as well. We passed by the Wailing Wall. We went to the qabr of Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. It's believed to be his qabr. Some historians say it's not his qabr, but actually a maqam, meaning a place where he used to stay or used to visit. Allah alone knows, but indeed he has some particular relation to that area. So that is the place of Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. He had ruled the Bani Israel for 40 years. 7 of them were in Khalil, which we'll discuss just now, and 33 years were in Jerusalem itself, and the city became known as the city of Dawood. So that is the Jewish quarter. In front of the masjid, in that area, in the valley in front, known as Salwan, there is a pond, or a spring rather, there is a spring of Salwan, Aini Salwan, which is found in one of the alleyways there. It has some significance, different people assign different significance to it. The brother who was taking us around mentioned that even at the time of Isa alayhi wasalam, it was of special significance, and it was regarded as a place of, or the water was regarded to be Mubarak, very blessed water. Outside the compound, in one of the alleyways, I can't remember exactly where, there is also the qabr of Allama Busayri Rahta Alayh, the one who had compiled the poem of the Qasida Burda. He is also buried very close to the compound itself. Not far off is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This church is the holiest place for Christians in the entire Jerusalem, or in the entire world, according to them, because they believe this is where Isa alayhi salam was crucified. Obviously, this concept is rejected by Muslims, but they believe this is the place where it transpired, and they have the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in that area. It has been long been the subject of many divisions amongst themselves, because there are 6 Christian denominations. We have the Roman Catholics, we have the Greek Orthodox, the Armenians, the Syrian Orthodox, the Ethiopians, and the Copts. And all of them own a certain portion of the church, and all vie for control of the church. And that has led to differences amongst themselves, sometimes becoming very violent and leading to the deaths of different people related to the church as well. So quite recently, in the year 2002, 11 people were hospitalized after a fire broke out, and there were skirmishes between the different factions. And it all started off because a Coptic monk who was stationed on the roof of the church, he had moved his chair from the sun into the shade. And this was regarded by others as a symbolic gesture of him wanting to take over the church, and that led to the injury of many people, and skirmishes and differences again between the different denominations. Well, I suppose luckily for them, the front of the church was never owned or never belonged to the Christian factions. It is in actual fact the main entrance. The responsibility of that area was assigned by Salahuddin Ayyubi to 2 neighboring Muslim families, the one being the Judah and the other being the Nusaybi. And they were the custodians of the church from the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Salahuddin Ayyubi gave them the go-ahead to carry on with it.
Mullah, you know, you mentioned that you're going to speak about Hebron and Khalili.
Yes.
We've unfortunately run out of time. Perhaps you're going to have to leave that for next week, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah ta'ala, we can do that, inshallah ta'ala, Mufizab. Jazakallahu khairan.
Jazakumullah khair, Mullah Aziz, as though you've taken us there. It was really, really beautiful listening to you give the description. You know, in my mind, I was listening very attentively, and as the being transported to that place, I myself had the opportunity, I think in 2012, visiting for about 6 or 7 days towards the middle of Ramadan, and all the places that you visited. Have really, really strong memories, alhamdulillah. And we look forward to taking the discussion further next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, ta'ala, if you can afford me just a minute, Mufti Sahab, I'll just wrap up, inshallah, ta'ala, and then we can discuss another country, inshallah, in the future. Just one or two points to mention. One was that the custodian of that church was Wajih al-Nusaybi, who is still the custodian of the church and still holds the key to that masjid. And may Allah Ta'ala take us there many, many times in the future as well. Jazakallahu khairan to you, Mufti Sahab, for affording me the time. Jazakallahu khairan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.